Can you tell us more about this man? Or is that all the info we get?
Yeah, you just notice he's a man. He's waving a screwdriver, shouting clearly to no one, just himself.
Right.
Just seems like maybe a weirdo.
So, and this is in Chicago, right? I have to remember that my character doesn't have health care necessarily.
You're a Chicago comedian. You do not have health care.
I was gonna say, they're a comedian and they're in Chicago, right?
Yeah,
if this were in Winnipeg,
how bleak things look.
Welcome to Oops All Segments, the very best podcast hitting your eardrums at this very moment. I'm Kevin.
I'm Thomas. Can we get a little energy on the opening read? It just feels like you've already given up, so let's just try to take that one more time.
Yeah, okay. Welcome to Oops All Segments, the very best podcast hitting your eardrums at this very moment. I am Kevin.
I'm Thomas. We're here with special guest Jen Connor. She's a Chicago comedian. You might know her from making you laugh so hard your freaking butt fell off. And personally, Jen, I was excited to have you on. Like, this is kind of really fun for me. Like, you're hilarious. You're so talented.
Oh, thank you so much, Thomas.
Yeah. Are you feeling this from Kevin? Like, I know you two don't know each other, but are you getting a sense that, like, something's wrong? Or
I mean, I'm worried that he has the winter doldrums, Kevin. Mm. I know you're from Canada, so... Mm-hmm. I know how sad I get in winter in Chicago, so you must be, you know, you want to talk
Kevin,
about it?
Kevin suffers from SAD, small cell. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's still not over it. He's still hoping.
He puts his gooch on a sun lamp during the dark months to try to. If you're not going to bring the energy, I have to get mean. It's the one thing that opens your fucking eyes.
Okay,
dude.
Okay, fine. You know what's bothering me? I'm sorry. Normally, Jen, at the start of the show, we check in with the guest and we do it. But if you want to know, if we just want to get it out of the way.
I want to check in with you, Kevin.
Yeah, so Thomas and I have a group of friends and we have a group chat. And I sent a text message into the group chat yesterday, 10:04 a.m. Mm-hmm. Just over 24 hours ago now, 24, 25, 26, whatever, 26 hours ago, 27. That doesn't matter. Who cares? And when you work on something for a long time, you expect people to kind of at least recognize that the people who you trust, the people who you love, the people who are close to you, your friends. And we're all
worked
kind
on
of
it for a
all,
long time. It was a text message.
Yeah. Well, it was a joke via text. It was a joke via text that I think didn't get recognized in the way it should have. And I don't know that it's going to resonate the same way if I say it on the podcast.
This is the thing. I want to just get in front of this, like, in the group chat. Like, it's busy. There's a lot of messages. We're doing bits all the time. Like, things get missed. But I feel like if something's truly funny, you read it on a podcast. Like, everyone's locked in. We're paying attention. I can see Jen's focus. So, like, if Jen laughs now, that'll validate that it was a good joke, I think.
I don't know that I want to share it exactly on the show.
Let's test it out. I think I'd be a good, like... Laughometer.
You were a Chicago comedian, and now I'm afraid that if, like, because you just that has status, right? I don't.
No, it doesn't though.
Okay. Okay. Well, in that case, I'll just read it out loud. I'll just read it out loud. Everybody's always talking about Descartes. Like, I think, therefore, I am. But how about dick hard? I dink, therefore I yam.
Is the joke coming up or is it?
Well,
was that? Okay. Oh, like wordplay.
Kind of wordplay. That feels generous to me, honestly. Like, the wordplay speaks to a certain spirit of playfulness that I felt that joke. Had none of, right?
I didn't get a single
reaction. Joke? Who wrote that joke? Kevin, wrote that?
Well, yeah. So I showed up for my therapy appointment a bit early yesterday, and I had some extra time.
Yeah.
So
did you show up early because you were in crisis? About the text?
Yeah, no one was laughing at my joke in the group chat, so I needed to chat with my therapist.
I will say, as a therapist in training,
yes,
I have not yet had the privilege of someone showing me texts, but I feel like that's the ultimate fantasy, right? Like, that's the thing I really want to help people with is, like, read this. Does this sound crazy? Like, how am I doing in the group chat? Like, I just need to build enough trust to get people to open up like that. I like the idea of you, like, slowly
taking someone's phone who hands it to you and just, like, bombing the group chat and being like, yeah, just 1 second. Just, like, and, like, just, like, on a tear in their, like, group chat.
I'm dropping insane riffs in the group chat as their therapist. You can take it from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, we don't really know each other. I'm the kind of person, if I see someone make a joke that has, like, wordplay or puns in it, in, like, improv or stand-up, like, I'll start booing.
Okay.
I don't like, I think it's uninteresting. So were people like heckling you in the chat, or was it complete radio silence and then you just began to feel really self-conscious?
You know, it's a chat of close friends, right? So we're close. Sometimes we'll share stuff that's like, I have to say that people were, they treated it about the same way as if I'd shared like personal bad news. Like everybody was sort of trying to give me, they were trying to console me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heart.
That's funny.
We gave it like the heart.
Now that makes me laugh.
But enough about me, honestly, Jen. I mean, how are you?
That's the thing. Like the funniest joke in the group chat is Kevin. Like that he still tries to participate. Not this again. And like,
not that my mom thought it was real last time when he called me a joke.
We'll sort of be talking and like Kevin will type ha 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 like just to participate. It's like all he knows how to do in the chat.
I just am trying to laugh at your jokes, man. I'm just trying to be nice.
Do you want to workshop the joke now?
We could. Well, that could maybe be, we could sort of skip the whole check. And I do want to know how you are, Jen, but it feels like this has lit a creative fire in you that I have like, certainly during the process of working with you, I never saw you this inspired for even a second. And now like there's this light behind your eyes. Like something has awakened inside you.
I feel like I can help someone, you know,
I'm ashamed, a lot of the thing.
Yeah.
Comics life are spent so like selfishly thinking about ourselves, but I can use this chance to like really reach out and help someone who's struggling, a struggling Canadian comedian.
Yeah.
I think it's important. I think sometimes cause. Like
our lives should be lived in service of others. That's kind of like one of my mantras that I say.
Yeah.
And that's not just like serious. That's for comedy as well.
Okay. Well, if you guys think you could like punch it up or something.
I'd love to hear like a comedian tell the joke. You know what I mean? Like, because it might have been partly delivery. Kevin doesn't have a lot of charisma or confidence. Whereas for Jen, it sort of feels effortless. So where did you think you wanted to start with it?
Is there a chat? Can we put the joke in the chat?
Yeah, there is a chat that I can put it up in.
Oh, there we go.
Thomas or can you pull it up here? Where's our
group chat? Obviously I don't have it.
Right, because you wouldn't have like saved it or anything.
I deleted it because I was worried like if someone glanced at my phone, if they're like trying to look up something like a ticket or something on my phone, they might see the text. I didn't want to have that baggage.
Is there a reason why my text to you are coming up green as well, T? Because usually...
Do you have an Android or something?
No.
Then you know the reason.
Okay, let's read it again. Everybody's always talking about Descartes. Like, I think, therefore I am. Yeah, we heard about this.
Everybody's talking about
it. Well, how about Descartes? I dink, therefore I yam. Okay, so
it jumped up. It got a lot funnier hearing you say it. It really improved. Sorry, continue your thought, but that was already... almost night
first
and day.
It could be having the female perspective making a dick joke already makes it funnier because we already expect guys to talk about their dicks a lot,
which is fair and valid.
Uh-huh. And this is clearly for like a highbrow audience who you think would right. know who Descartes is. You're already asking a lot of your crowd.
Yeah.
Assuming that they know. That was French such philosophers.
A big sort of question for me is like, who is this for? Like,
right.
It's trying to be so in the middle of the Venn diagram that it's for no one, you know?
Right. I mean, I did send it to a group chat that was including, like, you know, you and only a handful of other friends. So it is sort of distinctively for you and our sort of buddies.
Okay. Is everybody always talking about Descartes?
Let's start there. So,
is that true?
No, not exactly.
So no one's talking about Descartes. No one's bringing up philosophy. No one's bringing up French people. And you're like, everybody's always talking about Descartes.
Yeah. Well, to me, that also feels extreme. To say no one is ever talking about him doesn't feel true either. I would say once in a rare while, Descartes comes up.
Do you think that should be how we open the joke? Like
once in a blue moon, someone mentions Descartes.
Or you need an audience plant to be like, man, I can't stop thinking about Descartes.
Like a union salt in the group chat who you've hired to set up your terrible
You're trying
jokes.
To get a viral TikTok clip going and you're doing crowd work and you're like, yeah, anybody read any good books lately? And some guy offers you Descartes' folio.
Can you, just to check your own knowledge, Kevin, is there anything about Descartes that you know other than I Think Therefore I Am?
Rainbow Road.
What?
Like
Mario?
De Mario Kart is what you're thinking.
Oh, Descartes, Mario. Oh, you're using cart.
It's another word. Thinking other cart.
I just thought I would try to maybe swing again at Jen with the pun world play thing. And I don't know if that
okay.
is better.
I want to skip ahead.
Okay, fair enough. That's a fair desire.
Okay, right. Descartes and Descartes, we're saying, are two philosophers. Okay. And whereas Descartes says, I think before I am, therefore I am, Descartes says, I dink, therefore I yam. So like, I guess yam is a confusing, why yam? That has nothing to do with dicks or being hard or philosophy.
Great question.
It's a root. Yeah. It's a tuber.
So the yam of it all, the yam of it
so
all.
So unless like Popeye was like talking about Descartes.
I am what I
right.
am,
is
kind of.
Descartes have the Popeye accent? Because this begs the question, like, who is this guy?
Who is Dick Hard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the yam of it all was sort of a reference to Luke. Our friend Luke, who's in this, is so fuck. I fucking hell.
I have a pitch. Sorry, I was not listening to you. I was staring at the joke. Yeah, trying to think of how to help it.
No, never.
I think
apologize.
This, can I try? Can I try a new version?
Yes, let's hear this.
Please.
This is a Jen Connor original.
Well, first, can someone bring up Descartes out of the blue?
So funny. I was at the library. I was sort of flipping through the existential tomes and I was like, I should read René Descartes.
Oh my God, Thomas, everyone's always talking about Descartes. They're always like, I think that therefore I am.
Yeah.
You know, I was also in the library, but I wasn't reading Descartes. I was reading Descartes. All right.
Okay.
I was reading about Descartes, and he was all, I dick, therefore I hard.
That's how you fucking do it. That's how you fucking do it, Kevin.
I don't know if it's an improvement. I don't know.
That was a clinic. Like, can you thank teacher for the lesson, please? Can you give teacher an apple?
Jen, I don't know what to say. I appreciate what you've done. And I realize now that I shouldn't be.
Hey. No.
you shouldn't be, full stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mean in like the unaliving of oneself way. I just mean in like the in
you
like
don't
the
ex- think, like, therefore you aren't.
Exactly. I don't think, therefore I sweet potato. And so
you seem maybe to you could talk about this in therapy next time, because I don't think I'm qualified to console yeah. you?
You're I actually have to host this show even from the earlier waiting. To have time to work through this one.
Well, I've actually set up the studio just outside of their office actually now. Sure. So ideally,
you soundproofed the lobby of a. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, I could hear the other session going on when I was waiting. That's a real story. So yeah,
that might have been distracting.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I think you might have a brain tuber, Kevin, because this joke makes sense. Look, we could spend all day running a fucking clinic on you, teaching you how taking you back to school, taking you to haha classes. But look, ultimately, this is a podcast about doing segments with some of the funniest guests on the freaking planet, and that's all we're gonna do today.
Here comes
Kevin,
the wheel.
Why don't we give that wheel a spinny spin, and we'll get started. Woo!
Oh, back to the
woo. Okay, segment 23, Nobody Likes You. Very relevant for today. Let's talk about Blink 182.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Nobody likes you when you're 23. Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of Blink? Is Blink a band
youth? It sure is.
It could be modern, I guess. They're still making music, I think. But yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not the Blink I want to remember. Mm-hmm. that was always like, I liked it a lot when I was like in middle school. And I'm 37. So when I was in middle school, they were like at their absolute peak.
Yeah.
And I remember we made a music video to Girl at the Rock Show one summer with my friends, like mom's like, I think it was a digital camera. I don't think it was VHS.
It's like a very narrative song, right? Like the whole song tells a story about a guy falling in love with a girl at the Rock Show.
Was it sincere? Like you were trying to make like a capture the spirit of the song? No.
No. I mean, it was two teenage girls like mouthing along to the words, and I remember this one scene of I was the girl at the rock show, and then my friend played my mom because like the mom doesn't want her to go out or something,
right?
And we had this back and forth where she's like hitting me with a belt.
Oh, I fell in love with the girl at the rock show. Jesus. Travis Barker on you with the belt. Holy,
that was it was really fun. The next video we did was Mandy Moore, Pennies in My Pocket. The Rock Show was, I think, maybe that was the first one we did.
I always liked lip sync music videos when I was a kid too, on like a digital camera. So I remember that, which was like a weird hobby. Like it was this weird, like creative thing that was for no one but me and my like friends that made it. And it was just, I think it's like how I know how to like edit the podcast now. And like it's like that's
project where you got a concussion?
That was maybe later on, because like I sort of
doesn't remember.
Yeah, what? yeah, no, I like transformed from making like silly like early days was like webcam music videos and like Legomation, and then I moved that Then I started like when I was in middle school, I wanted to like people started recognize that everyone was talking about Jackass, so I started making Jackass videos, and that was then, and then I started editing those, and yes, that is how I ended up like knowing the skills to do this. And and I did get a concussion from doing that because I was on one of the very first things we did was jump over a chain link fence, and I got hit in the head with a skateboard. I actually have a clip of that. Maybe you guys should, Thomas, talk about your thing. I'll find that clip.
Okay. I wasn't a big Blink fan. The only music that I listened to growing up was like Weird Al. I was one of those kids. It needs to be comedy, and like they kind of are funny songs, but it needed to be just parodies, or this one Winnipeg band called the Weaker Thans that I love. The thing that comes to mind with them is like the funniest singer voice maybe of all time, like the most fun to imitate. Everyone can kind of do a DeLong.
Whiny nasally, like hi. Yeah. Where are you? Right?
Left me roses by the stairs.
Yeah. Surprises, good. Let me know she cares.
Like it's inherently good. And also, I guess thinking about wordplay, like that's maybe an example of some pretty clever wordplay. Their classic albums, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, Enema of the State. Like that's kind of the peak of the form.
Right. For me. Right. was it all downhill from there after that? Okay, so here's a YouTube video. It's
Chad
like the
Green
only
zero.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, shout out to Chad. He was the one who took the video, I think. He might have been the one who threw the skateboard. This is the only video that remains from my time of making Jackass content, because my parents found out about it. And being like the parents of that day and age that they were, they made me delete it all. I'm so annoyed about that, because I would be really nice to go back and look at them now. But that's me. This is what gave me a concussion.
Let's see, you're running, you're leaping over a what was supposed to happen? Okay, so if people are just listening only, you're running toward, there's like
I'll run it back here.
Metal poles with a small chain across it. It's not really a fence. It's just like a little, like a VIP, like how you would enter a VIP lounge.
It's like stanchions along the side of
stanchion.
It's like along the side of a sidewalk.
The lowest form of parkour, like the lowest, the least impressive physical maneuver, followed by a friend just whipping a skateboard outside of your head.
Okay, so the chain is loose in between the two stanchions, and you grab it like it's a steady, like solid object. First of all, like even if the skateboard wasn't involved, you probably would still hurt
yourself.
Yeah,
it would have been hurt.
And then somebody just throws a skateboard at your head, just at your head, and then you fall into the grass. So what was there like a stunt that was like supposed to happen, or was this
no?
Just
they told me to
it?
Jump over the chain, and so I did, and then that happened. And then that clip actually ended up on MTV's Ridiculousness.
No.
Rob Ryan Sheckler, the young skateboarder at the time, and whatever the guy who hosts its name was, reviewed it, and he actually asked the same thing. He's like, why did he jump over the chain link fence? And he's like, I don't fucking know. So, but then they did it with a lot more smash cuts and stuff. Yeah. So,
And that's probably the origin story as well for the text that you sent. Like, if you really want to trace it back to like Kevin's cognitive deficits, like he can make broad connections between ideas, but like he can't always close the loop, you know? And I think moments like these, it really illustrates why.
That's, you know.
Shut the fuck up. Don't make fun of him.
Yeah. You know,
is that a privately listed video, or is it public?
Yeah, no,
were you
it's public.
Incognito mode when you showed us that your Chrome was like.
No, I have
black,
I have my
beam.
YouTube on dark mode.
Okay, nice.
Because I am half brown and I like to make sure that the world knows it. So,
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to take a break or what? What the fuck?
I think we probably should just to reset.
So I didn't mean to hit that. Sorry, everybody.
You did, but the energy's been off for a while. Let's reset. Yeah. Let's try to come back with a different attitude, and we'll hear about Jen's segment.
Okay, sounds good.
What's up, everybody? My name is Chance Nichols, and I am the host of We Didn't Peak. It's a podcast where I interview people who don't suck. Well, I mean, they're people who are chasing their dreams, and we talk about their lives, where they've been, where they're going, and look, you don't have to be chasing your dreams to not suck. I know plenty of cool people who hate their lives, all right? Boy, this is less an advertisement, more an insult. Okay, well, listen to us wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram at We Didn't Peak.
And we're back. Jen, do you have a segment for us?
I do have a segment for you guys.
Awesome.
Can you do the wheel spinning sound?
Sure. There's the wheel. I've got a new energy.
He's really always smiling ear to ear.
Ooh, this is interesting. It lands it on Choose Your Own Adventure. Ooh. Choose Your Own Chicago Comedy Adventures.
Whoa, oh, I love this. Yes.
Okay, so I wrote a Choose Your Own Adventure story from the point of view of a young and up-and-coming Chicago stand-up comic.
Oh.
All right. So I'm going to read you the story, and then there'll become points in the story where you will have to choose.
This
so feel free
great.
To discuss amongst yourselves.
This is
decide,
really good.
Wow, Jen. Decide right. what
do we have
you want to choose.
Is there a particular goal, or we're just like wherever we think the story would be most interesting to head in?
Yeah.
You can choose. You can talk amongst yourselves, decide what's the most interesting or what you might actually do. you can debate it a little bit. Yeah. And when you decide, then I'll continue the story. We'll see what happens.
Thank you for prepping. You actually wrote something. This is amazing. Yeah,
it's more than I can
say.
What
do people usually do? They just jerk off on camera? Or...
That's on the Patreon.
That episode was not released to the public. Yeah. But
that's our only
generally
fans.
People are like, talk about your childhood. And we're like, wow, thanks. That's so good. Thank you,
Guy Madden.
That was Guy
Madden who asked us to do that.
Yeah, but like finally someone. Anyway, go ahead.
Do you have any like kind of like adventure music or like a little intro?
I can get some. Give me a few minutes or a few moments and I'll get you some. Yeah.
Are you thinking like fantasy adventure?
Just a little bit for up top.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
For the intro.
Sorry, I got a new soundboard set up and it's going to take me a second. I will, but you'll just have to bear with me. Do your thing.
You can add it in post.
Yeah. Oh, that's a smart
idea. Oh, yeah. Do it in post. Okay.
Yeah. Now I don't have to search.
All right, are you both ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi-ho, comedy adventurers. It's 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, and it is your quest to get to the open stage at the Annoyance Theater to perform 5 minutes of your stand-up comedy act. Stand-up comedy is 50% jokes and 50% looking good, you say to yourself as you open your closet door. What should you wear? Do you choose a flannel shirt and dirty jeans, or B, a busy patterned button-up from Express Men paired with a black fedora.
Okay, I'm a little upset that the first one is what I'm wearing.
I was going to say, aren't you wearing, I can see you wearing a plaid shirt right now. How dirty are the jeans you have on?
I want this to, they ain't clean, I'll tell you that much. Just for the escapism, I want to imagine a comedian so unlike me that I couldn't even otherwise be in that world.
Right.
So I personally, Kevin, I'd like to go with the really busy shirt and fedora.
I was tempted by the shirt. The fedora put it over the edge because I'm a busy shirt guy. You know that I'm a busy shirt guy. I'm not wearing a busy shirt today, but I am a busy shirt guy. I'm a busy shirt.
It's so fun, too, when comedians pick something weird to wear so that their opening joke can be like, why did I wear this crazy thing? Nice, dude.
All right, so we're going with B, which is realism for Kevin and escapism for Thomas.
Sure, yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to associate myself entirely with the fedora wearing crowd, but I'll take it. It's fine. It's fine.
All right. Your shirt from Express Men is covered in ferns and tigers. And guess what? It fits like a fucking glove.
Nice.
Hell
You don the fedora and put it at a roguish tilt. You do a jazz square in the mirror before heading out the door.
Oh, boy. I don't know about this.
You emerge from your garden-level apartment and breathe in the dank Chicago air. If only 22-year-old me could see me now, you think to yourself as you walk to the brown line. Uh-oh. You notice a man waving a screwdriver and shouting to himself on the corner. Do you, A, cross the street to avoid him, B, keep your current path and walk swiftly past him, avoiding eye contact at all costs, or C, ask him if you can borrow his screwdriver?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Can you tell us more about this man? Or is that all the info we get? The screwdriver.
Yeah, you just notice he's a man. He's waving a screwdriver, shouting clearly to no one, just himself.
Right. Sure.
Right.
Just seems like maybe a weirdo.
So, and this is in Chicago, right? I have to remember that my character doesn't have health care. Necessarily.
You're a Chicago comedian. You do not have health care.
They're a comedian and they're in Chicago, right?
Yeah. If this were in Winnipeg, how bleak things look. So just,
You got to be more careful.
You do have to be careful. I have a couple instincts. One, I feel like crossing the street might appear prejudiced in some way. Like you saw a person on the street who is having a mental health crisis. You cross the street to avoid them out of personal safety. Someone could see that and be like, oh, he's not very accepting of this crisis. And ultimately, people going through mental health issues aren't dangerous usually, even though the natural response to someone waving a screwdriver might be fear. But I think you're a comedian. You're looking for material.
Oh, no.
You want to have an interaction with this guy so you can talk about it at the Annoyance.
Okay.
I think you asked to borrow the screwdriver.
Okay.
All right. You approach the yelling man, and you can smell his hot, rotten breath. Can I borrow your screwdriver? You ask. He stops yelling for a moment, startled by the question, and wordlessly hands it to you. With one swift motion, you stab the man in his gut.
No.
He collapses on the sidewalk, whimpering.
Fuck.
Do you A, search his pockets, or B, run away?
We're searching those pockets, right?
Item. Yeah.
You search his pockets.
In an effort to appear progressive, I've murdered this man. And I think, I'll search the pockets as well. I agree.
When I said that we have to understand that we're in Chicago, I meant it was strike first or strike never, you know?
All right. You search his pockets and you find a Venture card, which is like a travel card.
Right.
And $100 in cash. Nice. Ooh. You kick the man in his wound as you walk away. Bing bong. Bing bong, you board the brown line toward the loop. The car's pretty much empty, and it doesn't smell too bad today. Do you sit, A, alone in an empty row of seats, B, next to a cute girl traveling alone, C, fuck sitting, you stand near the door so you can keep an eye on everyone and everything?
All right, so I'm thinking I have blood on my hands. But I've also made the equivalent of 20 paid stand-up performances just by robbing this guy.
Yeah. So we're flushed right now.
I think the confidence of having that hundo in your pocket would inspire you to sit next to the girl and try to strike up a conversation.
All right. You sit next to the cute girl. You can smell her perfume. She gives a little smile to herself as you sit. She seems about your age. I like your fedora, she says. It's so ironic. My name is Jesse. I'm new to town. Do you, A, make polite conversation until your stop, B, invite her to your comedy show, or C, ejaculate quietly in your pants and say nothing?
God, if it wasn't quietly, I think I would go C.
Yeah.
But if she's not even going to notice, if I'm not even peacocking with that, I feel like I got invited.
Literally,
to the
sort
show.
Of in and of itself.
What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like I think you gotta get her down to the show. You gotta get her down.
Invite her to the show.
Yeah. Right. I might bust, but if she's not going to notice,
yeah,
I'm not. Yeah.
All right. If you think this is ironic, you should come to my comedy show, you say as you hand her a flyer.
Oh, my God.
She laughs and you laugh, and it seems like neither of you actually know what ironic means. Sure. Why the hell not? I got to do something first, but maybe I'll see you there. She exits at a stop before yours and gives a little wave as she bites her lip. Nice.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Everything's coming up. This
fedora shirt. Yeah.
You arrive at the Belmont stop, so you get off the train and take the steps going down two at a time. You're early and you're fucking starving. Do you grab a quick Chicago dog at Devil Dogs? Mm. B, grab a quick Baja Blast and Cravings pack at Taco Bell Cantina? Or C, walk an extra few blocks in the wrong direction and go to the Great American Bagel?
Mm. So, Kevin, I know all these flavors, so I feel it would be only right for you to choose your fantasy meal.
Now, it has to be said and saddened that I think I have to go, unfortunately, because the other options sound interesting, but the bell calls.
All right. You walk into the Taco Bell Cantina, and the employees all greet you enthusiastically and by name. Yeah. Apparently, last time you came here, you were blackout drunk and tipped everyone in the kitchen $100 bills. So that's where your rent money went. Mm. They give you your Cravings box and put a few shots of tequila in your Baja Blast. It's on the house, says the cashier. So this is what it feels like to be a king.
This feels like I'm playing one of those mobile games I get ads for that
that don't actually exist.
Yeah. So
it just exists to install a virus on your phone. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right, let's continue. Hunger sated, you walk the rest of the way to the Annoyance, Chicago's premier live comedy destination.
So true.
You climb the black metal stairs, bang, 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 listening to the loud echo of your steps, herald your entrance to the busy bar. You walk up to the bar and burp a little bit, the taste of Baja Blast lingering on your lips. Hey, Pete. Hey, buddy. He clearly doesn't remember your name, even though you're there 5 nights a week. Do you order A, a smoker's cough, B, a naughty glass of pee-pee water, or C, a PPR?
Is this Peter Corey, or are we using false identities from The Annoyance?
This is the real bartender, Pete.
Oh, the bartender. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. That's the voice of Peter Corey, previous guest. I think I want to try the naughty glass of pee pee water because it feels like it will be distilled. I'm already burping. More carbonation will only make it worse.
Is that like a pun, like the pee pee water thing? Or
so you have a smoker's cough, naughty glass of pee pee water, or PBR.
And is a smoker's cough a cocktail? What's the naughty glass of pee pee water?
Let's go with the naughty glass of pee-pee water for 1,000, please.
Make it a double, you say. Pete fills a pint glass with lemonade and Bailey's and pops it in the microwave.
Oh! Oh!
It feels sweet and warm going down your throat. You wonder if unicorns exist and if this is what their butts taste like.
Oh, my God.
The house is now open for the open stage, an intern shouts into the microphone. You finish your drink and head to the theater. As luck would have it, you're on first, thank God. Now you can leave right after you're done and not watch anyone else's set. You hop onto the stage with impish glee and test the microphone. Check, check, cool. Hi, guys. Who's ready to laugh? No one responds, and you feel a lump of nerves in your throat. You glance down at your sad little notepad and ponder what joke you should open with. Do you choose A, a joke where you bring out a baby carrot and say it's your dick and talk as your dick? B, a Holocaust joke? Or C, try crowd work for the very first time in your life?
I mean, now, we've already talked a lot about dick jokes today. Yes, yeah. So I feel like I'm going to ruin that.
I think we've tapped that.
I'm Jewish and I'm curious where we're going with the Holocaust joke. So I would love to see.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I will say the crowd work, the idea of for the first time ever, when these are the two pieces of material you have, I'm nervous to know what happens to crowd work. But yeah, I think that we got to do the Holocaust joke.
okay. Let's play it safe.
Really? Okay. Sure.
I want to just know what you wrote as a Holocaust joke.
No, this is your character.
Okay, sure.
Your
character. Well, let's just see where this goes, though.
Yeah.
All right. You feel like you couldn't sink any lower, so you tell a joke about the Holocaust, which I'm not going to make right now. You'll just have to imagine it. Sure. It's really offensive. Yeah. Really offensive.
Yeah.
To your surprise, you hear laughter from the audience.
Oh, no.
Loud laughter. You realize the crowd is almost entirely other young white men who also tell Holocaust jokes.
Yeah.
You feel great and like you belong.
White people!
It's good to see. Yeah.
Can I tell just a quick break in the story to tell a true story?
Yes.
At The Annoyance on Sunday afternoons, there's like an open mic from like 4 to 6 p.m., like early in the day before the bar opens. There's an open mic in the bar.
Oh, cool.
Hosted by, at least it used to be, I think it still is, hosted by Sarah Dirks, very funny comedian.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's usually like young white men telling their jokes.
Open
mic?
And
mics? I was there for a rehearsal, and so I happened to be going through the bar, and I was chatting with someone for a second, and I didn't see the comics, but she comes up and very seriously goes, "All right, everybody, no more Holocaust jokes, all right? We're not doing any more Holocaust jokes." As if, like, several guys in a row.
It had become a problem.
Fuck?
What year is it? Where that?
Yeah, exactly. All right.
I love that The Annoyance just brings out like the kind of anarchic creativity in all the people in the city, and they know exactly what that means and what the limits of it are, and that it just like fosters such a beautiful sort of willingness to cross boundaries.
All right, this is the last one. I see the end of your story.
Most diplomatic noise I've ever heard.
Oh. All right, your show is over. Well, maybe this is as good as it gets, you think to yourself as you exit the theater. Back out to the bar. Oh my, it's the owner of the theater, the legendary improviser director Mick Napier. Mm-hmm. You've always been too nervous to talk to him. But you know what? Not tonight. You walk up to him and say, A, hi, Mick, I'm a comedian. Do you have any advice for me? B, hi, Mick, can you show me a magic trick? Or C, hi, baldy bald head, you look familiar. Oh, wait, it's because I could see myself in your bald head.
The third one is the only one he would respect, I think. That you just come up so aggro, so negative. I would lean towards that. What are you thinking, Kevin?
I mean, yeah, I'm always enticed by a magic trick, but I have the sense that he might be disrespected by that. However, if Mick's a magic guy...
He loves doing magic, but...
Does he?
It's sort of a dead end conversationally. Then you'll just have to watch a bunch of tricks, and your career will just stagnate.
And we'll definitely not be able to tell him that we stabbed somebody earlier today if he's doing magic. But maybe if he... Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm game.
I'm going with C? All right. Yes. Baldy bald head. Fuck you too, Mick says. Then he buys you a shot. You're pretty sure he's coming on to you, but you don't mind. He laughs at a joke you make, and it feels good. 10 years later, you thank Mick in the foreword of your best-selling improv book, How to Pretend, A Boy's Tale. The end.
Wow. Hell yes.
So, oh my God. You guys are pretty good. You became a successful comedian, but you didn't get the girl, so.
Oh, yeah. Did she come to the show?
Or if she did, she saw our Holocaust joke. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And she left. Do you know, like, if we sort of unpack, like, is there a satellite choice that would have definitely brought her?
That's the choice you wanted, Thomas? You missed Jesse?
You just met Jesse. You don't even know anything about her.
It felt that we had a connection. In some ways, like, she's the first person that saw the real me, which was me after I murdered that homeless guy.
Right, because that is sort of a rite of passage, just sort of becoming a new... Yeah.
Yeah, it had to do with what joke you chose. Yeah.
Interesting. Great. Okay.
I see. Jen, I was really close to the crowd work, I have to say.
Are there any passages that we missed that you feel are worth highlighting or
specifically
do you want them
tickled
to be lost
by? I thought that was
forever.
A truly incredible segment.
That was the best segment that's ever happened on the show, bar none. It really made our other guests look like piles of shit and ourselves as well. You know, we have a big wheel of 100 segments. None of them have almost any thought put into
it. Last time there was one that I had thought out stuff behind. We were sort of shamed for that, you know, because nobody knew who Michael fucking Cudlitz was, but that's fine.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Is there any other passages in there, Jen, that you wanted to do?
I mean, it's all gold, frankly. I'll probably just use this for something else.
Yeah.
It was great.
You should.
It was great. Yeah. I was wondering.
We don't have to release this episode as well because you would hate to sort of spoil your big closer and like this.
Well, I'm probably going to cut all of this, like the whole everything we've done so far. So I hope you guys have like another 40 to an hour to kind of.
All right. Wait, I do like what. Okay. It doesn't change the ending. It's more for the fun questions, but there's a couple that make me laugh. If you would have chosen a smoker's cough.
Yes.
Pete looks at you with disgust. He gets a shot glass, fills it with mayonnaise, and tops it with Jaeger. You slurp it down in one gulp like a cursed oyster.
Oh, damn. That is horrible. That sucks.
It's all good. I'll just send it to you and you could read all the options.
Oh, great.
Please. Yeah, you know, and I'm afraid I've been to the annoyance. I've never been a stand-up in Chicago because I'm not a stand-up. Although I've been chewing on trying it. Maybe one day. Not in Chicago.
I don't think so. Not for you.
What?
Based on some of your early work, I just think it might not be a great fit.
It's just weird because you and I, we do like a lot of creative stuff together. You're sort of my like artistic confidant. So I would hope that you would kind of at least support me in the attempt. It's interesting that you would sort of try to cut me off, like stop before I even start.
Yeah, I think of myself more like your sponsor. Like you call me when you're worried about making a mistake, and I give you sage guidance.
Like nip it in the bud.
Should we do one more segment before Jen has to go?
I guess so. Do we want to spin the wheel, T?
Well, yeah, but let's pull from one of our audience suggested segments. We'll still spin.
We'll do a
a listener told us to do.
A listener.
Wheel. Woo!
Okay. Surprise, motherfucker.
Dumb Either Or Series 1. From Yamaha P45 88 key weighted digital piano. Thank you, Yamaha. So the segment is, were it free, would you have your favorite meal every day or a different meal every day, but it cannot ever be the same meal twice? This is kind of a classic. Ooh. Would you rather?
Easy. B.
You're sticking B? Like, are you just going to make small variations on a favorite to bring it back? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
That's what cooking is. This question was written by somebody who doesn't know how to cook for themselves.
It was written by a Yamaha keyboard, I think. So,
okay. Yeah. It's written by a robot who imagines what it would be like to eat if those were the options.
Yeah. No, you're right. AI generated segment, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you just you have something, then you add garlic to it, then you
add. But I think to honor the spirit of the question, let's say, you can't just sub one ingredient and the meal changes.
It's like a dish.
It's like, no, you had pizza, you're done.
You can't have pizza anymore.
If you have penne noodles with a particular kind of sauce, you can never have penne in that sauce again, even if you change, what meat you include or whatever. So if we're thinking of, our lives have 60 years and 365 days a year, that's, 21,900 meals.
Okay. That's a lot of meals.
Yeah, I mean, the second one does seem...
Like, those last few years of your life, you're eating some wild-ass shit,
You're having the smoker's cough.
You're 95, and you're having, seaweed salad with,
I'm eating the glue on envelopes. Cockroach.
Trying to die.
But no, I do agree. I think eating your favorite meal every day is torture, especially because they don't mention and it's healthy for eating
free
pizza every single day doesn't make me feel like shit. Like, then maybe I'd consider it.
I think option B, because it seems like the temptation of the whole thing is that there's an economic value here, right? That there's that you're getting this meal for free. So it's sort of, I would kind of use it as funds are a little low. I don't feel like ordering dinner this week, or you know what I mean? But let's get sushi tonight. Okay, this is the one time we can have sushi with this thing. Boom. And I feel like then it has value. You're doing it daily and you can have weird little snacks with it and stuff. But I feel like then you can also have high-end expensive meals sometimes. You can have a very well-prepared, steak or something. And then you can have, I feel like
here's the downside I'm thinking of. When you just want something quick, you just need, you're getting up in the morning, you've had cereal, you've had granola bar, you've had it's just suddenly do you have to create a complex meal every single, the amount of labor that ultimately, because I 21,000, that's one meal a day, but if you're having three.
But you're not using it, isn't it that you can only use it once a day? Is this every meal? I didn't realize this was every meal.
I guess, no, I think it's sort of a reward. You get a free different meal every day. Or you're right. So,
because I feel I agree with you, but I'm just eating regular ass breakfast. I'm not about to change up and get to wishing on my bread. You don't burn that on a breakfast most of the time.
Yeah.
This sounds like an elaborate buildup to be and this podcast is sponsored by.
God, we wish.
Get fat in your house today. Yeah.
They will not get a free shout out on our limited release.
Oh, sorry. You can beat that.
YouTube I'll bleep show. That. I'll
please,
bleep that.
Please bleep that.
Jen, you visited Japan. Did you visit the Yamaha factory?
What?
And perhaps, as I believe that is where they are based.
I mean, but they're a huge company, right? They make, there's not, they manufacture so much stuff.
My biggest regret was that we didn't, on my big 10th anniversary trip with my boyfriend, we didn't go to the Yamaha factory when we were in Japan.
That sucks.
That is, so, and so obviously your relationship's not looking great then, I guess.
Yeah.
It started a big fight. We like didn't talk the whole night long.
What did you
to make beautiful music together.
How long ago did you go to Japan?
Last May.
Oh, okay. And what was your favorite part?
It was right now it's really affordable for to go, so we could like buy any like food we wanted. We stayed at some incredible like Airbnbs that were like old silkworm houses redone. I climbed a volcano on my birthday. That was really fun.
That's pretty cool. I was like, I didn't realize that Japan would be a place that could ever be affordable to travel to at any
point. No, I think it used to be like really expensive, but compared to the, at least the US dollar right now, it's like good.
Yeah. So. All right. Well.
Nice. Well, your life sounds awesome. Ours obviously suck. But let's wrap up the show. This has been Oops All Segments. Thank you so much, Jen, for coming on. If you like the show, you can listen to our If you like the show, you can listen to our other D&D podcast, What We Do in the Basement. My character is left, but the show is even better without me. Jen, just like our audience member, you should give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you could pull out your phone right now and do that, that would be amazing. I just think
we need to like let our guests plug something if they're going to come on the show.
So right? Sometimes just pull out your phone and then you can give us 5 stars. And it, while you're doing that, if you want to quickly mutter under your breath like what you're up to, that's fine. You can tell them where they can hear the Choose Your Own Adventure shit again.
Oh, I was thinking about trying it on Tuesday at Open Stage for real.
That is a pretty good idea.
If you're planning on waving a screwdriver in the neighborhood of Jen's place, don't on Tuesday.
She'll come for you.
You know how that ends. Yeah.
But really, on Fridays, my sketch team pours a brand new sketch show every week on Fridays at The Annoyance at 8 called Missed Call. Also, we do TMI, Tuesday Musical Improv at The Annoyance every Tuesday night. We make up full-length musicals right on the spot.
Wicked. I never do this. And Jen, please, please, please pull out your phone and rate us 5 stars. Please do that. That's not a joke. I beg you, do that. We need it. But I never do this. But genuinely, Missed Call is one of my favorite shows in Chicago. It's so funny. It's such a great cast. And I just want to also shout it out because it's awesome. And the premise is great.
You know, it's weird. When I visited you in Chicago in October, I asked you for like show recommendations, and you said nothing
came to mind.
What you said, the entertainment that I'll give you tonight will be better than anything you'd see on that fucking stage.
I wanted to protect my experience from an outside contaminant.
I see. I see. So I could only compare you to nothing. Okay. Fair play.
Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you so much for being here, Jen.
Folks,
just pull out your phone for real and rate us 5 stars. I haven't seen you do that yet, so I just want to
do that.
Just do it for real,
because so this will come up then.
this is not a game to me. Like like, oh, ha, 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 we're laughing, and then when I ask for one fucking favor after platforming you, after the things you've done, after the things you've said, that I platformed you, and I get nothing in return. I get nothing. I get a fucking Japan recommendation. I can't.
You know what,
go
Thomas?
There.
You know what, Thomas? I thought you were more of a Descartes, but you're really more of a dickhard.
Fuck.
Talk to you folks later. Have a good day.